great to be here.
So be even greater this week. There'd be a little spring in the step because there's nothing quite like a little W in the win-loss box that makes everyone that wee bit happier.
It absolutely does. And I think the most pleasing thing is just the way that our team is trending qualitatively in the way that we're playing our basketball. Some things are finally starting to land with our group and click within. And I think that's, you know, really the catalyst for producing a near miss against Perth and then the win against Adelaide, you know, two really good basketball teams.
Yeah. So tell us too, there's been obviously some personnel issues with people injured and that sort of thing. How has that all gone now? Is everybody starting to settle down?
Yes and no. I mean, I think every team has their struggles in that kind of regard. As a young coach, one of my mentors said to me, you coach the players that are in front of you. And, you know, they're the, essentially in terms of basketball, the tools that you have to try to get the job done. And it's a, you know, imperative that we've got to try and do our best with what we have and put them in positions to be successful. And I think we can do that.
Yeah, and I guess when you look at a squad, you know, from 1 to 12 or whatever, you, in terms of the style and type of basketball that you're trying to get the team to play, the number 12's got to be as aware of that as the number 1 as well. So if there is a situation where one goes in because somebody's injured, they should be able to fit in there and still have the same philosophy going.
Yeah, and I think the cliche thing is to talk about, well, it's an opportunity for them, and absolutely it is, but every player is special in their own right and offers something unique to the team. And it's us, almost like directors, to cast them in the right roles so they can do those things, you know, bring that point of difference and be able to crank the volume up to a 10 and do what they do best.
Yeah. I've been lucky enough over the years to, you know, spend a bit of time hanging around basketballers and elite basketballers as well. And I'm always fascinated by the mental side of things. And I see it from the athlete's viewpoint. But let me ask you this. When as a coach, you develop a team and a style that you want to play and you believe it will be successful, when you have that patch, which inevitably happens where it's not as successful as you would like it for any number of reasons, do you ever start to doubt yourself and sort of go, well, are we going down the right track? Do we need to review this?
Yeah, and I think it's a bit of a balancing act, or you know, you try to dissect both qualitatively in terms of what you see and then quantitatively in terms of statistical measures, advanced analytics, you know, things that sort of illustrate trends. There's one thing to be said for staying the course, you know, not unlike planting a seed and you know, you water it every day and it doesn't sprout immediately, but then all of a sudden, you know, up pops this beautiful flower after, you know, a period of time. But then also there's opportunities sometimes to pivot or shift, you know, maybe minutely from what you thought the end outcome was going to be, and it becomes something within the bandwidth of what you're hoping for, but perhaps just a slightly different version.
Wow. It's really interesting talking to modern day coaches of any sport, you know, compared to even 20 years ago, just the analytical aspect of what you were going into then, which I find really fascinating, as opposed to get out there, run through the brick wall. You know, it's certainly a changed landscape, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And, you know, I think there's less rigidity, there's more adaptability, you know, in many cases. But being able to create or foster an environment, you know, with an end goal in mind, but then, you know, allowing things to occur organically and then steering as opposed to, you know, the rigidity of which you spoke.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a good example, I reckon, of that too, with the flexibility was just reading about young Giddy, of course, in the NBA, and there was a game they finished off, a magnificent pass from him inbound to right under the basket, and he said basically it went against everything the coach had said at the previous time out, but he said he saw the guy, he said, I just moved my eyes where it was going to go, he got there, so it was just instinct that that took over, and you've still got to allow for that as well, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. I mean, I think, you know, we have a viewpoint on the sideline where, you know, we can see some of the action, but being in the feel of the game or having the instinct of an elite level athlete is probably something that us as coaches don't understand. So you've got to give a level of leash or freedom to the athletes to be able to make the play that they see, perhaps not the one that, you know, we've prescribed or wanted. You know, generally speaking, the higher IQ players will make those type of decisions that can be game-defining.
Well, look, if they do that, you still got to make sure you take the glory, Mark. You know, there's a great story from the great Lindsay Gaze, and he tells a story like 2 seconds on the clock, final timeout. They work out the play. They're a point down. And basically, from the time the ball leaves the player's hand, they absolutely make a meal of what Lindsay had said he wanted them to do. Jack the ball up. In it goes for two, luckily. And everybody says, oh, geez, that Lindsay Gaze, he's a genius, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes I'll have that type of tongue-in-cheek approach as well. You know, if we've tried to execute something, I think in my case, it's probably been more within the Bendigo Braves season, but we might draw something up and it's the best laid plans and something completely different happens. You know, and I'll turn to the bench and say, you know, just like we drew up.
Yeah, exactly.